Hey, it's working. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. I love coming here. It is like family. It feels like home. If you came to our church, you'd feel right at home. So we are the same tribe, which I think is awesome. Is Julie in here? Is she in the green room? I have a word for Julie. And actually, it's for John as well. So if somebody can get Julie. John, you can stay there. But it's also for you. Well, wait. Wasn't that awesome? Worship was amazing. You guys are blessed. Am I ringing or is it just me? You're working on it. Okay. There she is. Awesome. Come on, Julie. Come on up here. This is for you and your husband. Yeah, come on up. I said he could stay there. You don't want him to stay there? I don't. If she says you got to come up, then she's the boss.
He is a man of God.
Yes, hallelujah. Look, he came right away. That's good. You've got him well trained. So, yeah, how much do you appreciate this lady? She's amazing, isn't she? Amazing. Yes, yes, that's the right response. Who keeps? I do have to say, and I know this is on tape, so I will disavow. Don't do that. He's the coolest sound guy I know. Like, it's awesome. We have cool sound guys, but you need to teach them some things. But anyway, here's the word. So actually, it started when we were in the green room. When you walked in the green room, I saw the word company written over you. And what I saw was that you're going to raise up a company of worship leaders, but not just worship leaders, musicians. And I feel like God's going to surround you with musicians that you're going to raise up. They're actually going to start leading worship in other churches. You're going to resource other churches. On a Sunday morning, you're going to have teams that go out and are going to be leading worship in other places. But not just that, they're going to be doing music at like open mics and different places throughout the community because the kingdom wants to break out of the box we've created. And so you're going to raise up musicians that are going to bring the kingdom into that environment. And I see you just equipping, training, investing in them. And I think the duo is that you can bring that element with teaching sound and helping people learn that world because churches need that. We're desperate for amazing sound people. And so you're going to be raising up people too. It's going to be something that you do in harmony together. And it's going to impact not just this area, but this whole state and beyond. So I just want to encourage you. You've got what it takes. God's put amazing things in you, and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he loves that. So run with it. So I bless you guys. Thank you for doing what you do. Yeah, awesome. Oh, yeah. See, he's a good sound guy. They're always teaching things. It's amazing. All right. Well, we've had a crazy day. Scott Thompson, my cohort, is stuck in Chicago. So Ryan, as we speak, is on his way driving to Chicago to go pick Scott up. And Scott doesn't have any clothes because they weren't able to get his bag. So hopefully his clothes get delivered in the next few days, or we'll just buy him some new ones or a lot of deodorant or something. He's generally not a stinky guy. But anyway, you know, that's what happens. Things happen and you adjust. And I just think God has some great stuff. If we're going through this kind of adversity to get there, it's going to be awesome. If you've never, how many of you guys have heard Scott Thompson speak? Wow, there's only one person. This is awesome. I'm going to let him know. He's going to be really excited. You guys are in for a treat. He's seriously one of the best preachers I know. He's amazing. So, and we love having him in our environment. So tomorrow night, Saturday night, it's going to be awesome. So there you go. What do I want to do to start? Let's pray, because that's always a good place to start. Anybody ever seen Spaceballs? Praying to God, praying to God. That's what we're doing. Sorry for the random Spaceball reference. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for that amazing time of just being in your presence. And as Aaron said, worship doesn't stop when the music stops. Worship is continual because it's just who you've made us. And Father, I pray that tonight you just show up and show off, do what you do. And we just want to partner with you. And yeah, just do what you want to do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about being powered for purpose. But during worship, the Lord kind of adjusted my message, which I love because it's better when he does that. Because normally, you know, if I'm just saying what I want to say, it's kind of all over the place. But he's got a good way of directing me. So if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll get there in just a minute. But I want to start with a little bit of history. As we talked about last night, our purpose is connected to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your anointing, which we said last night, you have an anointing that you've received from God, and no one can teach you how to be you. You're not anointed to be anybody else. When I started in ministry, you know, I one of my favorite people to listen to is Bill Johnson. And I would try to be Bill. I would listen to the message. I would write down all those amazing Billisms that he drops. You know, if you've ever heard Bill, I can't get through like the first couple minutes of the message because he drops a revelation bomb and I'm lost. And that's just what he does. And so he's amazing. So I'd write down the revelation bombs. I'd create a message, you know, structure out of that. And then I would try to, is it bad if I go over here? I probably need to stay here. I'm a wandering preacher. I'm kicking the carpet. So I try to be Bill. I would even like try to do, you ever hear him do like the pregnant pause? I would just always pause at the wrong spot and it was awkward. And so I would try and didn't work. And then I realized that I wasn't anointed to be Bill. I was anointed to be me. And so I had to discover my own anointing and my own, you know, flow and how God works through me and the way I'm gifted in. You're not meant to be like anybody else, right? You're made in his image and likeness, not in your pastor's image and likeness or, you know, your favorite speaker's image and likeness. You're created in God's image and likeness. And he wants to reveal himself through you. And that's incredibly important because he wants us to walk in confidence. Confidence and pride are two different things. Unfortunately, the church has lumped those things together. So we think if you're confident, you're arrogant. That's not true. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence because it has great reward. I can tell you how to differentiate between confidence and pride. Pride thinks it is the source. Confidence knows the source. Okay? That's the difference. Okay? If you think you're all that, it's probably not Jesus. Because you've partnered with him. And as you've partnered with him, you're doing amazing stuff because you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And how many know the Holy Spirit does crazy, wacko stuff? It's amazing, okay? He does crazy stuff. He does impossible stuff for a living. It's what he does. Like, he takes impossible situations and makes them possible. Okay, listen, I've got some impossibilities in front of me. As we were in worship, isn't it awesome? You get things in worship and they are not faith builders. I got a text that was like, oh no, that's not good. And I can allow that to affect my perspective. I can operate from my problem and all it's gonna do is create doubt and discouragement and depression. Been there, done that, bought that t-shirt. Or I can have the realization that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have a different perspective, and God has given me an opportunity through that problem to see him do something that I wouldn't even believe even if he told me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, when I have periods of doubt, I go back to the testimonies that have happened in my life. Are you with me? See, because remember last night I was telling you, I grew up in conservative Christianity. Like, we didn't expect God to do anything. We were just like, hey, we're just sinners and we're waiting for Jesus to come and take us away, right? You can't pray for people. That stopped with the apostles. And then here's what happened. I remember I was working at I was living in Montreal. I'm from Canada, if you didn't know that. I'm a transplanted Canadian. I'm now an American citizen, but I'm actually a dual citizen. So I think that's why I feel at home, because you guys are so close to Canada. So it feels... And you kind of sound Canadian a little bit. But anyway, whatever. So I don't even know why I was telling you that, but there you go. Useless information for you. What was I just talking about? Seriously, I don't even remember. What was I just talking about? This is what happens to me. The spirit of junior high jumps upon me and I forget. I forget what I was talking about. I was talking about the Holy Spirit. I know that. What was my point? Confidence. Yeah, confidence and pride. Right. So God has given you confidence that he doesn't want you to throw away. He wants you to pursue that confidence, but you do it in step with the Holy Spirit, okay? And he has given us access to that Spirit so that we can do the impossible. Oh, that's where I was going. I knew if I talked long enough, I would remember. Okay, so I'm working at a drop-in center for street kids in Montreal. And so the street kids that live on the street come in and we would play pool with them and do different things, basically become like father figures, mother figures in their lives and just pour into them. And it was a place called The Vault because it was in an old bank. And in the basement, they had a vault and that's where our prayer room was. It was kind of cool. Big heavy door. We walk in, there's a bunch of couches and we would pray, you know, for the night or pray for each other, whatever. And so I'm a real conservative, don't believe in healing. You know, didn't believe that happened. If it did happen, it was in spite of us, not because of us. And so, so one of the people who is my good friend comes in the room and she's got this massive migraine headache. And my friend and I, my friend's name is Ian, we were down there praying. And being the men of faith and power that we were like, somebody get the Tylenol. So we're like frantically searching for the Tylenol because she's obviously in pain. I mean, like, you know, how somebody has a migraine, you can tell just because they can't hardly see and her eyes were really red. And we couldn't find Tylenol anywhere. And so my friend Ian and I started to talk. And the cool thing is God had started doing things in our life. Like we were experiencing the Holy Spirit in ways we didn't think that the Holy Spirit did those things anymore. And so we were comparing notes about what we were learning as my friend is in agony, in pain, and we can't find the Tylenol. And so we come to this, like, I think it was the Holy Spirit moment where the Holy Spirit was like, you should pray for her. We're like, whoa. Mind blown. Let's pray for her. You know, as one of my friends says, when all else fails, we should pray. That's a horrible statement, but it makes me laugh every time he says it. Anyway, so we pray for her. We lay hands on her even. Whoa, that's outside the box. We lay hands on her. We pray for her. And I was not expecting anything. So I just closed my eyes. So I closed my eyes. We lay hands on her. We start praying. And she's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't have a headache anymore. And I open my eyes and I look in her face and her eyes are completely normal. They were bloodshot red a minute ago and they're completely normal. How many know moments like that will totally change your theology? Moments like that are like, I thought I knew God, but everything I've been taught is a lie because God just did something and he did it through little old us. I want to encourage you. How many know Larry Randolph? You ever met Larry Randolph? He's a prophet dude, crazy guitar playing prophet dude. He says something really encouraging that will help you. Ready? You might want to write it down. God has factored in your stupidity. Yep. He has factored it in. Okay? He's got it figured out. So you get to just do crazy stuff and believe him and let God sort it out. Okay? Because how many knows he still does miracles? Okay, good. So let's get to the message. Let's get to what I really want to talk about tonight. Okay, so a little bit of history. Okay, last night we talked about how, by the way, the Holy Spirit's been working from Genesis chapter 1. He started in Genesis chapter 1 doing amazing things. In fact, in creation it says that he was brooding over the surface of the waters. And from that, all of creation began to be birthed. What's really interesting is that when the ministry of Jesus started, he shows up again, right? He shows up as a dove who comes and rests upon Jesus, which is really the picture of what we should be experiencing is that dove comes and rests upon us and dwells within us. Are you with me? Okay? So here's the reason I'm talking about that. Abraham has an encounter with the Lord. Remember, we talked about that last night. Abraham hears God. And Abraham didn't have chapter and verse to refer to. He just hears God, and God says, go into the wilderness. And God makes him a promise. The promise is, I'm going to make you a great nation. And here's the part that I think sometimes we gloss over and don't remember or don't pay enough attention to. And that is, he tells Abraham that the nations of the world will be blessed through him. Did you hear that? It wasn't just for Abraham and his family, and it wasn't just eventually Israel that God wanted to bless. He wanted to bless the nations. This is important, okay? It's important because God had what they call a grant covenant with Abraham. That looks like this. A grant covenant was that one party took responsibility for the entire covenant. God took responsibility for the covenant, and Abraham reaped all the blessings. Doesn't that sound awesome? Is that the kind of covenant you want to be a part of? Amen. Ernest is the only one in the house, so he gets it. There you go. Amen. Okay? I'm kidding. Just teasing. So, you can have it, but everybody else has it available too. I'm just saying. Okay. So, the grant covenant was a great deal. God said, listen, I got you. Okay? And we talked about how, you know, Abraham had his moments. He had some issues, and God was like, oh, okay, I'll help you, Abraham. Let me help you through this because I really want to have a relationship with you, and I want you to be blessed because I want you to be a blessing, okay? So he has that covenant with Abraham, and after a while, you know, Abraham dies, and the people of Israel go into captivity in Egypt. Remember that whole story? If you've ever seen The Prince of Egypt, that crazy, awesome story. And then God delivers them. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version, right? And they go out into the wilderness. And God's like, I want to have the same covenant with Israel that I had with Abraham. Are you with me? Because he invites them and says, come to the mountain, consecrate yourselves. I want to meet you. Right? And they said, no, we don't want to do that. We're scared of you. I don't understand all that. I wasn't there, even though I've seen the movie. They didn't explain that, right? I don't get it, because I'm thinking God just delivered you from Egypt. That was miraculous. Why don't you get it? But they didn't, okay? And so what they did is they entered into a different kind of covenant called a kinship covenant. And a kinship covenant is not as good as a grant covenant. Because in the kinship covenant, both parties take equal responsibility, okay? So God stood on one side of the covenant and made an agreement with Israel, and Israel stood on the other side of the covenant saying, we're going to keep these rules and regulations. We're going to keep these laws. And how many know, and this is my version of events, but within the first 30 minutes of Moses being on the mountain, getting the rules, they were already worshiping a golden calf. They already had an idol. Here's why I think. Because they settled for rules instead of relationship. I was in youth with a mission for a few years, and Lauren Cunningham's wife, Darlene, said this statement, and it has resonated within me for years. She said, we make rules because we don't want to disciple people. It's easier to make a rule than to walk with people in relationship, because relationship is messy and people are unpredictable. Here's what I know. As a pastor, I have job security. People are unpredictable. They do. You did what? What made you do that? What were you thinking, right? And part of my job is to get them reconnected to this Holy Spirit person who lives inside of them and gives them access to what God is saying. That's my job, is not for me to have all the answers. I'm just going to tell you, I'm still figuring it out. I don't know. I don't even know how I got here. I don't. I'm not Wisconsin, but just how I'm doing what I'm doing. I know how I got to Wisconsin. But I don't know. I don't know how this happened, because I had a plan. I had a plan. I remember, because God did this work in my life shortly after that experience that I had in the drop-in center. I was like, I'm called to ministry. I need to go after ministry. Here's the logical step. I'm going to go to seminary, right? That's what you do. And God was like, no, you're not. And I was like, but God, that's how you do it. You go, you get an education, because you have to have something to say. If you're going to lead people, you have to have the schooling so people respect who you are. And he's like, no, you don't. So I had a couple different options. I remember I told you I came from a conservative background. So somebody told me about IHOP. And they started talking to me about not International House of Pancakes, but International House of Prayer, right? And some people were confused. Now you know, okay? So I was praying into that. I was praying into, and I remember having that conversation with my dad. Like, he's like, well, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking about seminary. But then there's this other place called International House of Prayer. And, you know, they teach you the prophetic stuff. And he was like, you're weird. I don't think that's a good plan. And so I was praying through that. And then my spiritual mom sends me a brochure for Youth with the Mission. I got it like the next day after I prayed. And I'm like, that must be God. So I end up in Youth with the Mission, and it's this incredible journey. It's how I meet my wife, and I go about being a pastor in totally not the way you should, but it was exactly the way God wanted it to happen, right? And he's got a plan, and you get to follow that plan because the Holy Spirit's with you, okay? And here's the good news. He, through Jesus, has given us a grant covenant again. Because Jesus and the Father made an agreement together. Are you with me? See, this is why Colossians says that everything you are is hidden with Christ in God. You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know why? Because when you find him, you find you. You find who you were created to be by having a relationship with him, because everything you are is found in him, because the covenant's found in him. Are you with me? This is a really good covenant. Here's the problem. We keep going back to the old one. Here's what Hebrews says about the old one. And this offends people, but I'm just telling you. He says, this is what Hebrews says about the old covenant. It's obsolete. Okay, should we not read the Old Testament? That is not what I'm saying. I read the Old Testament today. It's amazing. Do you know why? Because the Bible, the whole Bible, is a history of God's covenant relationship with mankind. And we need to learn what happened through that. Listen, the message of Jesus was more radical than we give it credit for. Like, he wasn't like, I'm going to extend this old covenant and we're going to repackage it to create a new covenant. He was like, no, we're blowing this whole thing up because you guys missed the whole point. Is this thing on? He's like, no, listen. When you read the Beatitudes, that's Jesus' version of the Ten Commandments. That's Jesus repackaging the Ten Commandments. Here's what it looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they, what? No, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What, blessed are the poor in spirit for what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? He's wanting to give you the kingdom. And as we learned last night, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's in you. And he's saying, this structure that we're creating is not an external structure. It's an internal structure. Yeah, he's building you up into knowing what he thinks and what he's like. He needed to do that because we were holding to old systems and structures. So let me tell you about something that happened yesterday on my way out here. And I didn't actually know it was prophetic until we were in worship. I'm telling you, worship was awesome tonight because I didn't even see it till God was like, what happened to you yesterday? So here's what happened to me yesterday. I drove to Sacramento on Tuesday to spend the night because I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to catch a flight. I'm not a morning person. I don't even like 9 o'clock, let alone 4:30, okay? So I get up and I'm going through TSA. And when I fly, I'm a little bit anal. Like, I have to have everything like perfect and ready and prepared. My wife hates traveling with me because I'm always there early because I am prepared for any eventuality. She wants to just show up and go through and be there 5 minutes before the plane gets off the air. She just different time zone than me. But so I'm prepared, right? So I got my driver's license and I've got my boarding pass on my phone. I give my driver's license to the guy. He checks me out. Okay, yeah, that looks like you. You got your ticket, go on through. And normally, here's what I would do. I would, because I'm so prepared, I would take that driver's license and I would put it back in my wallet before I put it into the bin. But I didn't do that. I don't even know why I didn't do that. I just stuck it in the bin. And I go through TSA, you know, and then there's always, I don't know if you feel that pressure, but I always feel that pressure because there's people behind me. I got to get my shoes on really fast, you know. I got to get myself back together again, and all these people are coming behind me, and it feels like pressure, right? And so I get everything, I put it all together, and it's all good. Get to the gate, check my bag in, because they, yeah, anyway, long story, get all situated. I fly into Minneapolis yesterday, and I go to buy some food. And I open my wallet, and guess what's missing? My driver's license. And that sent me off. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to get home? I can't even prove who I am anymore, right? So going through all that stuff. So here's what I'm getting. Here's what the Lord said. He's like, Marty, you lost your identity yesterday. You lost your identity yesterday, and here's the spiritual application. You lost it because you have these systems and structures in you that you have put in place that's keeping you from believing what God wants to do in you. Listen, I think he wants to blow that up. I think he's like, listen, this is a new way. I've given you a new command. Listen, Jesus made it so simple, right? Like, have you read Leviticus? There's a lot of rules in there. There's a lot. It's not just 10 commandments. There's like 600 and something, right? Here's what Jesus did. Let me make it simple for you. Ready? Love me as I have loved you. That's the new command. Love me as I have loved you. Isn't that simple? Don't we make it complicated? But wait a second. Have I gone to the right education classes? Have I done all the things I need to do to be qualified? Have I, you know, here's where we are. We're just figuring this out. Let me show you how Paul felt about this. Are you ready? I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Just because I can. I'm going to use my Bible, or I'm going to use my phone, which is my Bible, sort of. Are you with me? Okay. Man, these lights are hot up here. I feel like T.D. Jakes. I need, like, a little towel. There's a joke there. I'm not going to tell it. I'm not in Isaiah. Where am I? 1 Corinthians. That's where I want to go. Where are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In the Passion. Okay. Here's what he says. My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you, here's the part I want you to get, feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. Let's stop there for a minute. Okay, this is Paul. This is Paul, super Pharisee. This is Paul, the guy that knows the Bible backwards and forwards, right? This is Paul. He, when you read his books, you don't sense a feeling of inadequacy at all, right? You ever read any of Paul's books? He's super wordy, right? He really, like, wants to get his point across, okay? But here's what he's telling you. I came to you feeling inadequate. So here's what I preached. Jesus. Can I be real with you? We're family, right? I didn't feel super confident last night at all. In fact, I felt less than confident. When I got up here last night, I was still thinking about my driver's license. I was still thinking, I'm tired. I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. I don't feel anointed. And sometimes when I don't feel anointed, it's the best ministry time. You know why? Because it depends on Jesus and not on me, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is even Paul felt inadequate. He felt like, I don't know how I can do this. And here's why. Because what I told you a minute ago, this was revolutionary. It wasn't a small thing. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to start another denomination. right? It wasn't that. It was like, we're changing the whole system, and here's what that looks like. It's all built on the person of Jesus. I didn't come with a lot of eloquent words building on this awesome message, 3-point message. I had this awesome PowerPoint to show you with videos embedded into it so that I could prove my point to you. All I did was I came preaching Jesus to you. That's what he was saying. Okay, so let's keep reading because there's really good stuff after this too, right? He picks it up in verse 4. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. Okay, let's talk about that. In fact, the New American Standard puts it this way, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God, okay? So here's what happens. Julie was praying about it earlier, and it was so right on. We've created structure in church, right? We've created avenues and lanes and all that kind of stuff, and sometimes that we forget that Jesus is at the center of that, right? And here's the other side. The other side of that is when we go, there's no rules. We just do whatever. Okay. I have a friend who's a pastor who's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to come with a message. We're just going to leave the mic open for people to come up and say whatever they want. And how long that lasted? Like a week. That's really messy, right? There's a reason you're the pastor. There's a reason God's called you to do that so that you get to shepherd the people, right? So here's what I want you to understand. God does love structure, right? Because we have bodies, and it's a good thing to have structure, right? Otherwise, I'd just be like a blob up here. It would be weird, right? We have structure. We have bones, and it's for our own protection and our own safety, right? And I was telling this to Rick earlier today. It's God. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pour my new wine into no wineskins. He said, I'm going to pour it into new wineskins, okay? And the new wineskins have structure, but that structure is flexible, and it's flexible because we've all been given the Holy Spirit, and we know how to walk in step with what the Spirit is saying because we're building and developing a relationship with him, and that's why Paul was saying that to them. He's saying, I didn't come to you with a persuasive argument because I didn't want what you believe to be built on an argument, but instead to be built on this powerful relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Okay? That's why the Holy Spirit's in your life, so that, like we read yesterday, you're not deceived by everything that comes at you, right? Because listen, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that gets taught, and we have to know how to navigate all that stuff. I remember when I first started pastoring in Fortuna, I love my pastor, but he was coming out of legalism and into like more freedom. And his solution to the people reading stuff on the internet that wasn't good was we should keep people from reading the internet. And I was like, dude, how are we ever going to stop people from doing that? Because his answer to that, because that's what he was taught, was when you're afraid, you control. Trust me, in your life, when you're afraid, that's when you get controlling. Okay? And that's what happens in the church is we're afraid, so we control. And we forget that the Holy Spirit is not only in our lives as pastors, but he's also in the lives of the people that we lead. And we actually have faith that the Holy Spirit can reveal truth to you, and we're actually there to help connect you with that Holy Spirit that's living in your life, and the solutions you're looking for are actually found in him. Yes. Yes, he has the solution. I love Ryan. He's amazing. Ryan doesn't have all the solutions. Neither do I, right? Are you with me? The Holy Spirit has a solution. The reason Ryan is such an effective, powerful pastor is that he loves the relationship he has with the Holy Spirit. And you can tell when he does ministry time because he's really sensitive to what God's saying to him, and he'll do whatever the Holy Spirit's asking him to do. And what he's doing by doing that is modeling that for you, because he's saying, if I can do it, you can do it too. Listen, that's the testimony of Jesus, right? It's the spirit of prophecy. If he did it for someone else, he can do it for you. And that's why the Holy Spirit's in your life, is to build a foundation in you that is not built on our understanding, but is built on him. That's how we mature in our relationship with the Lord, is we build that connection with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 6. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it, or they would not have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is what why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store, check this out, for all his lovers. I love that. Verse 10, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Okay? Here's what it says. Nobody knows this mystery, but you do. Nobody knows the mystery, but you do. Yes, you. You, sitting there doubting yourself. You know the mystery. You know why? Because you have the same Holy Spirit that I have. You have the ability to hear from God, just like I can hear from God. I don't care if you feel spiritual or not. That is not the qualifier. The qualifier is that he lives in you and wants to show you what he's about. He wants to reveal the mystery in you. What's the mystery? We know that, right? It's Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, I'm about to go off on a rant, okay? Because here's what glory looked like in the way I grew up. Glory looked like when you're dead, glory happens, right? Bless God, I'm going to go meet God in glory, right? You ever heard that? Because we thought all the good stuff happens when you're dead. No, you have a glory. Here's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from what? Glory to glory into the image of the one who created you. Listen, you can't grow from glory to glory if you don't have any to begin with. He's got glory inside of you that wants to come out, and it comes out as you begin to discover who he is so that you can discover who you are, and that he's revealed the mystery. Guys, we've made mystery about our identity. We've made mystery about what am I going to do? How am I going to impact, you know, my world, the world around me? How am I important? Here's how you're important. Jesus died for you. Yeah. And here's the, Dan Moeller says this, and I love it. He says, Jesus didn't die to expose you. He died to reveal your value. You're so valuable. He died to show you how valuable you are. Why would anybody die for people who rejected him? But he died for you because he knew the potential that was in you, because he created you. He envisioned what you would be like before Adam and Eve ever showed up on the scene. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Like, he's got this figured out. We're sitting over here stressing on how he's going to do it. Listen, pastors do it all the time. We're worried like, oh, there weren't many people in church today. What are we going to do? It's how our self-esteem goes up and down. Here's the problem. While we're worried about butts in the seat, there's a world out there that's lost. And we're not impacting it. Listen, here's what I've realized. I'm not called to pastor a church. I'm called to pastor a city. I'm called to pastor a region. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, the world outside may never come in here, but we have the ability to go to them. And you have the ability to live out what's inside of you in front of them. One of my favorite quotes is from a guy named St. Francis of Assisi. He said this, preach the gospel all the time, and if necessary, use words. The church has that backwards. We're like, preach the gospel all the time, and we only do it by words, usually written in the four spiritual laws, so that we can make people feel guilty and know that they're going to hell, right? That's ridiculous. That is not good news. The good news of the gospel is that God has transformed you, that you have a relationship with Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, but we don't know we have good news because we've heard all the bad. We've heard all the stuff we're not qualified for and all the things we can't do because we didn't do that school or we weren't part of this thing or we weren't, you know. Like, listen, I go through it. God set me up because he didn't send me to seminary. If I'd gone to seminary, I would have had all the right answers. Right? Probably not. There's a reason they call it cemetery, not seminary. Right? No, he was like, Marty, being in ministry is about you having a relationship with me. Paul said it, follow me as I follow Jesus. The qualifier is that I have a relationship with God, okay? My one of the dads in my life, Bill Johnson, has this thing on his desk, and it's another one of those things, you know, nuggets of truth that I hold on to. It says, whatever feeds me feeds them. Here's the other thing he's taught me. Never study to teach, always study to learn. You know why? Because you can't give away what you don't have. You can't give it away. Like, I could study something and regurgitate what someone else has taught me, but if it's happened to me, there's more authority on what I'm teaching you, okay? And when I teach, I don't teach out of what I don't know. I teach out of what I know, what I've experienced, what I know to be true. And it makes more of an impact. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in me and he's revealing mysteries to me all the time. And he's showing me, watch. Just watch what I can do. Watch what's going to happen when you come into step with me. Watch what I'm going to open and unfold for you. And just stay connected to me. Remember in John 15, when it's just a powerful portion of scripture, Jesus said this, abide in me. That word abide means remain. When I hear that phrase, here's what I hear. Don't wander off. How many times it's like you hear from God and you're like, okay, I got it. I got it. Then I run off the other direction because I got revelation, right? And how many times do we not realize that he has more than just that little nugget that you got in your prayer closet? Like, he's got a whole life of awesome, amazing, revelatory nuggets he wants to give you, right? But we're satisfied with that one little thing that gets us through the day. And I'm telling you, there's an abundance that he's giving you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to discover how empowered you are because you're going to begin to live out of the purpose that he invested in you. And here's the secret. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what stage of your life you're at. It doesn't matter what you're doing for a living. You're going to live out of purpose because your purpose is connection. Your purpose is connection, okay? Listen, I had to learn that the hard way. I was in business for a long time before I was a pastor. I hated business. I love people. I don't like business. It's just not my thing, okay? And God has a sense of humor, and he sometimes puts you in places that make you feel uncomfortable. And I'm actually running a business for my father-in-law. And the whole time I'm running the business, I hate it, and I feel like I'm not living out my purpose, and I want to be in ministry. And I didn't see, like, I'm a little slow. I didn't see it until years later. Do you know that I was already pastoring people as a business owner? I was pastoring the people that I was leading in that business, but it wasn't good enough for me because I felt like if I'm going to be important, I got to have a platform. I got to have one of these things. Your platform is his presence. That's your platform. Because you're taking that into the world that Jesus says he loves so much. In fact, he said he loved it so much that he died for it. And then he said something else. He said he didn't come into the world to what? Condemn the world? But the world through him might be saved. Which means you, by the way, by extension. He does it through you. That's why you've been given the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit has empowered us for purpose. So I can do that no matter where I'm at. I can do that. Listen, when you come to church, this is my, again, I'm going to go back to what Julie was talking about because I think it's so important. When you come to church, it doesn't matter if you're on the worship team or you're the speaker that morning, you bring the presence of the Lord into that environment. And you don't even realize, because what happens, we become so menu-oriented that we come in with our judgment hat on. We're like, well, the worship wasn't very good today. They sang songs I didn't really like. Well, here's the truth. Like, we didn't come here to worship you. We came here to worship Jesus. It's not about the songs you like. You can have that on your Spotify playlist. You can listen to that later. But when you come here, you come with a purpose. And that is, I'm going to come to this house to be a blessing, and I'm going to use the gifts and the purpose that God gave me to build up the other people around me. Listen, we stopped using the word church for what we do Sunday mornings. You know why? Because you're the church. This is a building, which if you never came to, would not be a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're the church. This right here is a spiritual community. That's what we call our church. We're a spiritual community, right? And we come together to encourage one another, to speak life into one another, and to build one another up so that we have the faith to go bring the kingdom into the environment that God placed us in Monday through Saturday. Are you with me? It should change the way you come to church. Listen, I was in Fortuna for 17 years. That was where I pastored. I started as a youth pastor, became the senior pastor in 2005. And about a year ago, we transitioned to pastor our Eureka campus. And you got to understand, our Eureka campus was huge. It's like a crazy story, but it's a $2 million facility that the people who ran the church came to us because they had dwindled from 800 people to 30. And they said, we don't know what to do because we're just off the rails. We don't know what to do. So could you help us? And here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to give you this building. It's a $2 million facility. They're just like, here's the keys. Help us out. How many know that God, that had to be God? Like, that doesn't happen, right? So my wife and I are now in there, and we're pastoring people who have been beaten down for a long time, right? Because they went from vibrant life to nothing. Like, nothing was going on. They went from, like, two cars in the parking lot to, like, the parking lot is full every day, and people in our community are like, what are you guys doing there? This is crazy. Part of it is we have our discipleship school there. But what I'm trying to get at is, I was super comfortable in Fortuna, right? Because I've been there for 17 years. I know the people. We're building momentum. And now I'm transitioning into another place, and we don't have that momentum because they've forgotten who they are. And they got into menu-driven church, like about let's analyze the sermon today, which as a pastor is a bit unnerving, right? I love it when people sometimes encourage me after the message. They want to correct all the mistakes I made. I'm like, thank you. Anyway, that's a whole other topic, whole other message for another time. But anyway, so we're trying to build this momentum. And what we're trying to do right now is we're just getting people connected. We're like, I want you to pray for that person next to you and partner with them in whatever it is they're facing. And here's what you're going to do. Either throughout the week or next Sunday, you're going to ask them how it's going. And we're going to keep praying for one another until every person begins to see breakthrough in their lives. Okay, that's what's beginning to shift the atmosphere, because all of a sudden they're coming to church with a job. I've got something to do, right? Because most of the time we come to church, I don't have anything to do today. No. You're the church. So you come in with a job. The job is be encouraging, build people up, and comfort people, exhort people, be there for them when they're in hard times, be there for them when they're rejoicing. That's what family does, right? I don't know if you're picking up what I'm throwing down tonight, but I want you to hear, like, God could have named himself a lot of things, right? He could have named himself something really cool. It could have been like an Avenger name. He could have been like the Hulk or Captain America or whatever. He could have named himself some incredible name. But here's what he chose. He chose Father. He chose Father because he wants a family, which, oh, by the way, is us. Okay? And when we come into this house, we come in with things to offer, not only to him, but to one another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a job. And here's why. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The kingdom lives inside of you. I cannot stress that enough. Let me shoot it to you a different direction. I don't know how I'm doing on time, but I'm feeling the wind on this. So I'm going to keep going. If you're done before I am, you're more than welcome to leave. It will not offend me. Okay? Here's a testimony of that. I've been listening to a lot of John Wimber. Anybody know who John Wimber is? Started the Vineyard Movement. Okay? I love John Wimber. He ministers to my soul. John Wimber was a forerunner. He was doing things 20 and 30 years ago that we're walking in today. Okay? Crazy stuff. Okay? So here's John Wimber's formula for praying, and I so relate to this, for praying for sick people. Ready? Here's his formula. I stick my fat little hand out, and I go, God, come. How simple is that? I've got sausage fingers. I can do that. I can pray for people. I can stick out my hand and pray for people and say, God, come. What did he know that we don't know? That you're equipped because the Holy Spirit's in you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And when you step out, God does stuff. Listen, the reason we never saw anybody get healed, ready for this? We never prayed for anybody. We never prayed for anybody because we didn't think we could do that. The minute we started praying for people, crazy stuff started happening. Why? Because we were partnering with the kingdom that's within us. Listen, if he wanted to do it by himself, he would have. But he actually wants to do it with you because he has invested something inside of you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within you. Here's what Ephesians says, according to the power that works within you. I'm hanging on this point because I really want you to get it, because you're the spiritual life of your city depends on it, because you're not called just to be in this church. You're called to impact this community. That's what you're called for. Listen, here's what we used to do with the whole idea of evangelism. The whole idea of evangelism was not everybody's going to get saved, right? So we started, can you imagine, I'm in Packer country, so let's use that example. Can you imagine if the Packers this year came into the season going, yeah, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. We're hoping to be like 7-9. We're hoping for that. We hope we have a fairly good year. No, I mean, no good fan would root for that, right? No one's rooting for mediocre. Hello, Green Bay Packer fans. Are you all with me? I'm a 49er fan. I know what pain looks like, okay? We've been in pain for a while. We're living off of the Super Bowls we won in the 80s, right? So I understand this. And mediocre has been our lot in life, okay? This is Title Town. You guys have an expectation. I'm trying to speak your language, people. You're not giving me anything, okay? I'm telling you. I don't know what's happened to me, but my hotel is right down the street from Lambeau Field. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, there it is. It's right there. Okay. So but in the church, we're okay with mediocre, right? We're okay with like, yeah, it's enough to get by. We'll try to get some people saved, right? Here's the heart of Jesus. Ready? This is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Ready? He says he desires for all men and women to come to repentance. That's his desire. Who am I to argue with what God wants? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, are you picking up that Green Bay is set up to be invaded by the presence of God, and you're just the people to do it, right? You're just the people to do it. Why? Because heaven lives inside of you, because the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's what I believe for. I'm in a competition with Bill. It's to see who can win their city faster. I have less people in my town. I figure my odds are good. Right? But he threw that gauntlet down years ago. He was like, I believe a whole city will be won to God. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, I'm there with you. Right? I believe for the whole thing because God does those things and he's given me access to the mysteries of God. Okay, let me land the plane. Maybe. Let's see. Okay. Let's pick it up in verse 10. But God now reveals these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for the person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Here it is. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. That is a mouthful, okay? There it is. He wants to show you what God is like. See, we wait for that awesome sermon to come out. We wait for that conference to come around, which I love conferences. I love messages. I listen to messages all the time. But here's what the Lord is bringing me back to. Because listen, I told you a few minutes ago, I haven't been in the place of the most confidence because I feel like I'm starting over again with a whole new group of people. And it reminds me of how, like Paul felt, inadequate I am. I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. And God's like, didn't you figure it out the first time? I'm with you. I gotcha. Just follow me. Right? Remember Peter? Remember when he got out of the boat and he forgot I was there? He became like a rock and he started to sink, right? He forgot I was there, right? We sang that song we sang about tonight about the sail. That was so prophetic. Here's why. In Matthew chapter 4, it says that Jesus was led into the wilderness. Here's what that word led means. It means to put up your sail. That's what it means. And the significance of that is what powers a sailboat? Wind. What is the name for the Holy Spirit? Wind. In the New Testament, it's even more intimate. It's called breath. How many know when you partner with the Holy Spirit, you put up the wind, you put up your sail, and the breath of his presence will blow you, there it comes, into the direction that you're supposed to go. But your job is put up your sail. Put up the opportunity for God to do something through you by having the faith to say, okay, I'm gonna believe you, even though it looks ridiculous. If you've ever been in a sailboat when there's no wind, you look ridiculous. You're not going anywhere. I hope you have oars on the boat. Hello, any sailors in here? Yeah, nobody. You guys are landlocked. I think there's water somewhere. I have an ocean next to me, so there you go. Okay? No, the wind blows you in the direction. That's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you and taking you to places that you need to go because he is wonderful at leading us into God's heart. That's his job. You have access to the heart of God. Okay, so let me do two things. Let me end. And everybody said amen. Let me end. And then I'm going to set us up for where we're going to go in ministry time. Okay? Here's what I believe God was going to do. I had a plan. My plan was we were going to go after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we were worshiping tonight, God was like, no, tonight is about going after hope. I want to restore hope in people. Okay? And here's what hope looks like in the kingdom. See, our version of hope is, I really hope that happens. There's this hint of uncertainty, right? Hoping looks like it might happen, but it might not happen. That's not how it operates in the kingdom. Here's how hope works in the kingdom. It is the eager and confident expectation of something good. That's what hope is. the eager and confident expectation of something good. Here's why. And then, has anybody ever experienced hope disappointing you? Like our old version of hope? I'm the only person in the room. Okay, there's three or four, maybe five. Okay, yes, so you know that, right? Hope has disappointed us. But Romans chapter 5 tells us why that is. Here's what Romans chapter 5 says. It says that hope doesn't disappoint. Here's why. Because the love of God has been poured out within your hearts. See, our problem is we've anchored hope to an outcome. We've anchored hope to an outcome. If this happens, I'll be happy. If this breakthrough happens, I'll be happy. Listen, you know my story. I told it to you. For 5 years, my wife was bound in a nervous breakdown. And I had zero hope. You know why? Because my hope was in my wife getting well. And every day that she didn't get well, I lost more and more hope. Here's what Jehovah Sneaky did. He was like, hey, Marty, come into the garage. It was like the messiest place in my house. And God used the messiest place in my house to put me back together again. And here's what he taught me in all of those years. He taught me about his love. He was showing me the mystery of Christ in me and the Holy Spirit operating me. He was connecting me to the source. And what happened is he changed me fundamentally from the inside out because I was born for transformation. And he taught me that hope really doesn't disappoint because hope wasn't anchored in my outcome. It was anchored in his presence. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Hope is anchored in his presence. It is not anchored in your outcome. So his love is what gives you hope, and it powers you through all those times when you don't think you're going to get that breakthrough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, there's so many believers that live with a lack of hope because their hope is anchored in what their expected outcome is. And I want to tell you that your hope is anchored in his presence. So I'm going to have, I don't know who's coming up next, but you guys come up and do your thing, and we're going to pray for people after that. Okay, thank you guys. I know I went long and I apologize. I had to get it out. Otherwise, I would have preached to Scott.
Good evening, Elevation Church. Are you guys getting sick of seeing me yet? No? Great word. Thank you, Marty. At this time, we want to present giving. You know, Marty talked about how we come to church and as a body, we, you know, that we are the church and that we actually have something to offer one another. And one way that we can offer to one another is the helping, supporting the ministry of what we're doing here, or what our mission is, and supporting people like Marty to come here as well. You know, and so at this time, I just want everyone, just raise your hand. Your hand. All right. Present this hand before the Lord. I want you to reach into your pocket now with that hand. All right. Reach deep. And I'm going to pray for your hand while that's in that pocket. Lord, I want to thank you so much because you are gracious and you have given us plenty. Your word says, test me on this. Test me on the giving. But it's not just about the money. It's really about testing a giving of ourselves, trusting in you. Giving our whole being, our hopes, our life, trusting it in you and testing you on that. And believing that something will be multiplied, which is life, which is your life eternal. But at this time, we just ask that you bless whatever we give at this time. That it be a blessing to this ministry, to the expenses of everything that we do here, Lord. Because the mission that we have is really, like Marty said, it's out there. Help us to do it. Thank you for this opportunity where we can give and sowing into the ministry of the gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I just really feel like we're supposed to do some laying on hands tonight. It's the thing that Marty was feeling too, just this going after hope thing. Like, almost like a fresh baptism of hope, like a breaking off of hopelessness. So if anybody wants prayer for that, just don't be afraid to come forward. Like, this isn't about uncovering you. This isn't about any of that. This is just about a direct injection of who God is. Just a direct injection of who God is. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? Like, if the kingdom lives inside of you, maybe he wants to come out and play. So I just want to make that invitation available. I feel like we're in a tomorrow zone. Are you coming back tomorrow? Scott, this guy I'm looking at, are you coming back tomorrow? Then come up here today. If it's not tomorrow, it's today. There's a testimony that just needs to be shared tonight. Like, testimony means do it again, God, right? Testimony means do it again. My brother, Scott Enriquez.
What did you say, 2 minutes? Yeah, right. I'm Hispanic, we talk. Before I came here, started coming here, I was making a lot of dumb decisions. And in March of 18, I got arrested for DUI. And my job is I drive a fire truck for a living. I got 28 years experience. And if I was going to be convicted of these charges, I was going to have an ignition interlock in every vehicle that I drive, and they're not going to put one on my fire truck. So I've got, 16 months of this hanging over my head. And I'm talking to my attorney, and I'm like, I'm not saying I didn't drive drunk. I absolutely did. I'll pay fines. I'll do whatever. Just please don't put this interlock on my vehicle. Well, long story short, if I can, she said, well, we'll see what we can do. If you're convicted, we'll appeal it and whatever. So yesterday was the hearing, and she called me. The hearing was at 2:30, and she called me at about 4 o'clock-ish with some good news. The judge dismissed all the charges against me. it's all good, and I'm just stunned. Just stunned. So there you have it.
And Scott actually wasn't here on Sunday. A friend of his was here on Sunday. And I think it was Pastor Ryan had a word that there was somebody that had a court thing going on coming up soon, and that God was going to show up and invade that court thing. So just a crazy, like, his friend heard the word, brought it home to him and shared it with him, and then God just showed up and did something incredible. So I'm going to pray us out, and then we're just going to go into ministry time, right? It better be okay, because we're still doing it. So God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to move, that you are so profoundly interested in your children, like so profoundly interested that you move. You move even when we're not looking for it, even when we're not expecting it. God, thank you for that. That's part of what hope's built on. So God, would you bless this time as we go into ministry? God, would you just show up and surprise us yet again? We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.